A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Toby.
And this is the Whispering Woods podcast. This episode is all about...
the Michigan Dogman.
Yes, it is. Do you know anything about the Michigan Dogman?
No.
Oh, that's good, because I've done an introduction. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/thewhisperingwoodspodcast. Now, I do want to say... on Thursday, when we read out some reviews, I think I forgot to mention the name of one of them. So I'm just giving another shout out for Lavender Lou. Thank you so much, and I'm sorry. And I'm sorry if I missed anybody's like Apple podcast name out. Just let me know and I'll reshout it. Okay, so I've got an introduction about the Dogman. And I'd also like to say a big thank you to everyone who agreed to me sharing their Dogman stories. Right, are you ready for the introduction?
Yes, I am.
According to local tales, a mysterious entity known as the Michigan Dogman was first spotted in 1887 within Wexford County, Michigan. This mysterious beast stands at an imposing height of 7 feet and possesses either blue or amber eyes. It exhibits a unique blend of characteristics, combining a humanoid torso with the features of a bipedal dog. Its howl is particularly chilling, bearing a striking resemblance to a human scream. Folklore suggests that this creature makes its presence known every decade, specifically in years that conclude with the number 7. Reports of encounters with the Michigan Dogman have surfaced from various parts of Michigan, most notably within the northwestern region of the Lower Peninsula. The existence of the creature known as the Michigan Dogman was largely unrecognised by the broader world until the later part of the 20th century. It's rumoured to have roamed near the Manistee River since the era of the Odawa tribe's habitation. Notably, there is a lack of documented evidence for sightings before 1987, aside from the references in Steve Cook's song. The initial reported sighting of the Michigan Dogman in Wexford County. Dates back to 1887 in Wexford County, where it was encountered by two lumberjacks who described it as a being with the head of a dog and the body of a human. The year 1937 brought another incident in Paris, Michigan, where Robert Fortney was assaulted by a pack of five dogs, with one reportedly standing upright on two legs. Further accounts of similar entities emerged from Elegant County during the 1950s, as well as from the Manistee and Cross Village in 1967. In 1987, Traverse City's WTCM-FM radio host Steve Cook crafted a tune named The Legend as a playful April Fool's Day prank. Drawing inspiration from various North American folktales, Cook was unaware of the Michigan Dogman legend during the song's creation. The track, featuring keyboard accompaniment and attributed to Bob Farley, quickly resonated with listeners. Following its debut, Cook was inundated with calls from individuals claiming encounters with a creature resembling his song's subject. The song swiftly climbed to the top of the station's request list. Cook also marketed tapes of the track, with the $4 proceeds benefiting a local animal shelter. As time passed, Cook amassed over 100 testimonies affirming the creature's reality. The enigmatic being gained further attention with a feature on Monster Quest in March 2010 and an appearance in the Great Lakes Wolfman Dogman Wendigo episode of Monsters and Mysteries in America in January 2017.
So we're pretty much like werewolves in that.
Yeah, that's what it seems. I do remember watching an episode, I think it was Paranormal Witness, and it had loads of these dogmen things surrounding like a cabin in the forest, and it was actually really quite terrifying. And like you can tell sometimes that the people who are telling these stories, whether it was real dogmen or not, they truly believe it. Because I can tell by looking in their eyes.
Yeah.
I can. Look, I watch them and I watch their face. I can tell when people are fibbing. So bear that in mind, young man.
Yeah.
I can just
look. I don't lie anyway. I tell you everything.
You do, yeah. These days.
I'm not nothing to hide, right?
There's little ticks that appear on people's mouths when they lie, and that's what I watch for.
And if, like, someone, you're like asking someone something and they like say something and they like stop talking and you don't say anything, if they keep talking after, like, they're lying.
Are they? But what I watch for is a little kind of tick. It's like the lips curl. I'm serious, all right?
The lips curl.
They curl. And that's what I look for. Anyway, shall we get on with the first story? I've actually got four stories today. This is the longest one, and then I've got three short stories. Are you ready for the first story?
Yes, I am.
A few people have asked me to tell my story on here a few times, so here goes. It's going to be a bit of a long one. This was about 23 years ago, and I had no clue what a dogman was. And I didn't believe in anything supernatural back then. I was hunting wild hogs in one of the southernmost areas of the Great Dismal Swamp. This is far south of the wildlife refuge, where it ends at the Albemarle Sound in eastern Northern Carolina. I had put my boat in the water at a friend's house, about a half hour by water from where I went in the swamp hat. This was in late November, so it was pretty cold and really overcast, and it gets dark around five or so. It was about noon when I tied up and got out of the boat.
first hour or so was pretty uneventful. I was working my way inland. Some of this part of the swamp can be walked through when the tide is low and it's just marshy, with deeper canals and bogs scattered about. But there aren't any trails or marked paths or anything, so you really have to pay attention where you're going and definitely need a compass, since you can't see the sun. It's pretty dark in there, even on bright and sunny days. I was back there for about 2 hours and looking for a sign of hogs. I could tell some had been back there at some point, but it had been a while. I got a little further in and started smelling what I had thought was a boar. It's rutting season, and male wild hogs have a very distinct smell. It's a musky and kind of fermented smell, mixed with old poop and urine. Kind of hard to explain if you've never smelled it before. However, this was different. It was musky, but more like an outside dog that's soaking wet. I stopped to look and listen, and after 10 or so minutes, I started hearing snuffling, breathing that came and went. After a bit, I started to hear some growling, and I started to get a little freaked out because it didn't sound like a hog, and it sounded big. I stopped again and knelt down and waited and looked around. Where I was in the brush was pretty thick, so I really couldn't see more than 20 or so feet in any direction. That's when I started seeing movement. It definitely wasn't moving like a hog. It was kind of low walking, crouched down, but not on all fours, and I was only getting glimpses of it, and it would stop. It was probably about 40 feet away. This is when I actually start getting scared. I was born in northeastern Kentucky and spent most of my free time as a kid in the woods, camping, riding, dirt bikes, and I've always been comfortable, even in the deep woods. So when I moved to North Carolina, I fell in love with the swamp. This is the first time I think I had ever felt real and actual fear. I had a Mossberg 590 shotgun, full of 3-inch buckshot, but no extra shells and no pistol. The 590 also had a bayonet lug, so I took out the bayonet and I put it on. I started backing up, not taking my eyes off where I had seen that thing last. A few minutes later, I hear it again, a little further over to my left. I'm probably about 3/4 mile into the swamp, which doesn't seem very far, but the terrain doesn't make for really quick movement. This goes on for about another 20 minutes, while backtracking out as fast as I can, and I'm still hearing it and catching glimpses of movement, and the smell is getting stronger. After a bit, I realise that this thing has gotten between me and the way I came in from my boat. I'm starting to panic. I tried to start getting further away from it and headed in the right direction. And then I see it again, and it's standing up and it's pretty damn tall. It was still back in the brush, so I couldn't really make out any details as it's dark as hell back there. I wanted to cry and run, but I knew that was a bad idea. It didn't seem like it wanted to get in the water, so I started wading through the canal, headed back towards my boat. I started to put some distance between it and myself, so I got back on hard ground to move a little faster, but I could still hear it snuffling and growling and moving through the brush, but it's not close anymore. I made it back to my boat and I'm soaking wet and freezing, but I thank God I made it out of there, and just in time as it's getting foggy and starting to drizzle. I'd never been that scared in my life. I made it back to my buddy's house and told him what happened, and I can tell he knows something when I tell him where I went. He brings me in and gives me some hot coffee with a big slug of bourbon in it. When I calm down, he takes me to the other house out back of his property, to where his granddad lives. I'd met his granddad before, but it'd always been kind of standoffish to me. I found out later he just had real bad PTSD from Korea. My buddy and his family had lived in that area since after the Civil War. I think his granddad's great-granddad had been a slave around there, but that's a story for another day. I guess what I mean to say is his family had history in that area and knew the place a lot better than me. After I told his granddad what happened, he stood up, looked me in the eye and said, Don't go back in there. You're lucky you made it out. That's where the big dog lives. I left and went home and slept for about 18 hours. I tried to forget about that experience and started to believe I was just seeing things and freak myself out. I eventually forgot about it until a few years ago when a Dogman Encounters video came up in my YouTube feed. I was curious what the hell a Dogman was, so I started listening to it and that whole experience came flooding back to my mind. It was very similar to what happened to me. I started looking into it, and there have been other sightings and encounters in eastern North Carolina. So that's my story. I'm 44 now and still live in coastal North Carolina, but I haven't been back anywhere close to that area. I still hunt and love the outdoors and the swamp, but don't go too far in anymore. There's all sorts of things out in American marshes, all sorts of cryptids and creatures. I want to do an episode about the marshes and what creatures live in them, because there are numerous out there stalking the marshes. So what do you think? Do you think that was a dog man stalking him?
Yeah, could have been anything. Could have been, like, some weirdo just in the bushes.
Could have, yeah, yeah. But it kind of, like, with the smell and everything, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you ready for the second story?
Yes, I am.
My father's sighting. We were living in the northern part of the Mitten, the main part of Michigan, back in the 80s. One evening, I saw a herd of deer running across the field and into the woods. I also heard a howl of a wolf. I wasn't too interested, but I knew Dad liked being a wildlife spotter, so I went in and told him that I think the deer was spooked by a wolf pack. Dad got up, grabbed the binoculars off the table by the door, and went out. I sat down and started watching my Friday night shows, thinking nothing of it. Then the door slammed, and I heard Dad holler at Mum. It stood up! He ran into the bedroom and came out loading the shotgun and stood by the door. Mum told me to go downstairs to the finished basement and watch my TV down there. Dad spent the night in the chair in the living room. The gun was never put back in his gun cabinet. The next day, I asked what was wrong since he was still looking out of the window. He didn't say, said he didn't want to scare me. Not that it helped, because at the age of 9, I was imagining all sorts of horrors. He passed last year, and I was going through his things with Mum, and I saw this folder with werewolf on it. Inside, he had handwritten notes and a few pictures he took. The pictures didn't show anything interesting, but one showed a 6-foot hay roll, and his note said that it stood taller than the roll. Other pictures showed the churning dirt from a herd of deer running flat out. It's not totally convincing that he saw something like the dog man, but something scared him. He never used to hunt with friends during deer season, but after that, he was always out with his buddies. Sorry if this isn't too exciting, and for the fact that it's second hand. I was too into the Dukes of Hazzard when it happened to give a care. I love the thought of the dad being protective like that and staying up, you know, with his shotgun ready that if it came near, he was going to have it and keep in the scrapbook. I love it. I really love that story.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it must have been really nice for the person to have found the scrapbook with all that stuff in.
Yeah.
That's the legacy.
Unless there was some proper mad stuff in it. Saying he wanted to take the wolf's DNA and make some aliens and don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like apocalypse stuff.
Yeah. But obviously there wasn't in this one. So they're all right. I just think it's a lovely legacy.
Yeah.
I might just put something together for you guys. And then you can find it, like, when you're sorting all my stuff out. Right, are you ready for the third story?
Yes, I am.
I've been sharing updates here about a curious situation with some land that's been in my family for years. It's my grandparents' old place, a 20-acre spot nestled in a big suburban neighbourhood, with a good chunk of it being this dense old forest. A while back, I started noticing the deer were gone, like all of them. The woods were too quiet, and the only critters I'd spot were a few turkeys, and even they were acting all stealthy, ducking under bushes and bolting at the slightest glimpse of me, which was weird. I had this nagging feeling that something was off with the land. But what really got me thinking it was something out of a sci-fi movie, was finding a deerskin right there on the front lawn. It was like it had been peeled off recently, with bits of meat still clinging to it. And around it, there was this odd pattern of deer fur, white and black, spread out in these big swirls, almost like someone was trying to spell out an SOS with it. It didn't seem like something a coyote would do. It felt more like a warning sign, like something was telling me, I'm here and you better get out. At first I was freaked out, but then I kind of shrugged it off. Maybe there was some weird creature out there. But I figured, as long as I didn't mess with the place, I'd be fine. Plus, I had other stuff on my mind. So I stayed clear of the property for a good month or so. Weird things still happen now and then, like finding a dead squirrel or a perfectly cut deer antler on my usual jogging trail. And one day, I found some dried sage leaves by my backyard shed. I don't grow sage, and I had no clue where it came from. It smelled amazing though. Recently, I went back to the property, and it didn't feel as creepy. The turkeys and squirrels were out and about again. So what do you think? Did something strange go down? Could it be Bigfoot or maybe a dogman? Just so you know, this all happened in a suburb of Minneapolis. Any ideas?
So the sage was used to cook the wolfman alive.
Well, to repel the dogman.
Nah, is that what it is? Is sage like something that they use to cook?
Well, our sage, I don't...
Seasonings and that.
Yeah,
kind of.
Like the sage I grow in the garden isn't white sage. But Native Americans use white sage to get rid of spirits and things and to cleanse. So, I'm not sure actually whether it's used in food or not. I'm going to have to Google it.
Yeah.
I personally...
I'm pretty sure it is.
Probably. I imagine
it's
so.
It's like, for like posh people, they just like stick it on top of like an egg or something and call it £354.
Well, we must be posh then, because I've got loads of it growing in the garden.
No, because like that's what they do in it. Like they put like little plants that you just take from the grow house,
mm-hmm.
just stick it on top of an egg and say, this is the Lovewell boutique. It is... £250 go in the most.
Well, yeah.
Food's nicest chicken farm.
Food is funny because, like, years ago there was this thing where people were putting pea shoots on top as like a garnish, and pea shoot is just like a green pea shoot.
Peas.
It shoots out of a dried pea, basically. And also there was this time when samphire was really, really popular and expensive and seen as a delicacy. But there's loads of it down the beach. You just got to know where to look. And because I'm a keen forager, I have the know-how. Right. Anyway, are you ready for the fourth story?
Yes, I am.
I've just turned 40, but this story takes me back to when I was 20, living in the Florida panhandle. This one night, something happened that I'll never forget. It was on Quintet Road, right by the bridge, over the Escambia River. Back then, it was all dark and lonely at 2:30 a.m, nothing like it is now. So there I was, driving home, when I saw something up ahead on the side of the road. At first, I couldn't make heads or tails of it. It looked like some kind of animal, but not one I recognised. I slowed down to a stop, about 100 feet away, not wanting to startle it or worse, hit it if it darted across. As I watched, it started moving, and not like any animal I knew. It was huge, and it had this strange, dingy grey fur. We've got black bears around, but this thing was way bigger. And then, as it reached the other side of the road, it stood up on two legs. I was completely frozen. This wasn't just any animal. It was like something out of a horror movie, a werewolf or something, towering at least 7 feet tall, with these glowing orangey-yellow eyes that seemed to look right through me. It disappeared into the trees, and that's when I snapped out of it and hit the gas as hard as I could. I didn't talk about what I saw for years, but when I finally did, the only thing that made sense was the legend of the Dogman. That's the only thing that fit what I saw that night. You know when you drive down those country lanes at night?
Yeah.
I'm always waiting for something to come out.
Yeah, it's like the type of thing where it's like, I reckon someone's just going to be standing in the middle of the road, like.
That would be.
But
really
that wouldn't stop me. That would like encourage me more.
Watch, put your foot down.
Yeah. So I'd be like, oh, what is this Divvy doing? Like, he's trying to get himself run over. He's in country lanes.
With a Friday the 13th mask on.
Yeah. Like, people will be like, oh, quickest way to get rid of the situation. I'm like, quickest way to finish this situation.
I do remember once we were camping, I was probably about just a little bit older than you. We were in Wales in the Black Mountains, and it's completely, completely remote. You're in the middle of nowhere. No one could hear you scream. Right? So we're camping. And one of the older girls has taken us all for a walk, because we only used to go with Rob. He was this man who used to take the underprivileged kids out and for experiences and stuff. He was great. So he took us on this camping trip. And as we're doing this walk, it's probably about midnight, probably later. And one of the girls starts telling us about Yeti, right? And it seriously freaked me out. And I think that's why I'm always waiting for something to come out of the hedges or the trees when you're going down those country roads.
Yeah.
It's stuck with me.
I want to find Bigfoot, Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Sasquatch.
So I want to be his friend.
Yeah.
I reckon they're sound.
Well, from stuff I've heard, they will warn you, like, get lost, jog
yeah,
on.
But I'll be friendly with them.
Okay.
I'll name him Chewbacca. And then he can have a cup of tea.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can just imagine him putting his little pinky out when he drinks
yeah.
there.
I come home with, oh, this is my mate, it's Chewy. And then, yeah.
There used to be a television show, actually, like that, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the fifth and final story?
Yes, I am.
Back when I was just a kid, I had these two friends who lived right next to each other, out in the countryside, east of town. It was the kind of place where everyone knew each other, and the stories we shared could fill a book. One night, one of them told me about waking up in the middle of the night and seeing these creepy yellow eyes staring at him through the window. It scared him so much that when I mentioned it during a sleepover, he couldn't handle it, and ended up trying to sleep in his mum's room. I overheard him telling her about those yellow eyes and how he was afraid they'd come back. Then there was my other friend, the neighbour. He spent a night at my place once and opened up about this massive black dog he saw in a field. He said it was as big as a horse and walked on all fours. He kept going on about its size. It really shook him up. Not too far from where we lived, there's this old graveyard that's been around forever. People say it's an ancient Native American burial site with gravestones from the 1800s. I've had a few run-ins there myself that felt straight out of a Dogman legend. But this one time, a howl shook us to our core and we bolted for the car without looking back. I've had another spooky experience there, but it didn't seem related to the Dogman stuff. And get this, there's a town not far from here, Prior Creek, where someone's actually posted a Dogman sighting. These creatures roam huge areas, so it's not too wild to think one could be hanging around here, with all the farmland and forests. Even Tulsa, which isn't too far off, has had a few sightings reported. It's all like these little pieces are starting to form a bigger picture.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So it sounds like one of those towns where loads goes on.
Yeah.
I want to live in one of those towns.
Yeah, like one of the towns where like there's like a local like kind of legend. Type
yeah, thing, yeah, definitely. I just made them up when I was young because I wanted things to be going on. And I just realised that we had 5 stories, not 4. So I'm sorry about that. I miscalculated.
Well, that's the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll catch up again soon.
We will indeed. We will catch up with you again on Thursday. Take care, everyone.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We'll be right back.